Look at Luke chapter 1, verse number 41. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Verse number 63. This is Zacharias talking. Verse 63. And he, Zacharias, asked for a writing table, and he wrote and said, His name is John, and they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. We're going to preach from the entire chapter. It's got 80 verses, so I didn't choose to read those 80 verses for you this morning. But if you'll read Luke chapter 1 from start to finish, we're told about the coming of John the Baptist to his elderly parents who had given up hope of ever bearing children. And I wanted to say to our church family and to those, I thank Sister Amber for bragging on God for a miracle, to any of our people, and I know we have some who are praying for a child or another child, and it doesn't seem that that's going to happen. The Bible says when Gabriel showed up to Zacharias, he said, God has heard your prayer. They were already, as the Bible would say, well stricken in years, but they had never given up hope. And the Lord told me to tell you to keep asking Him for a youngin. Amen. I thank God for it, and I thank God when He gives a family that. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His blessing, and it is right and proper to pray for that, and let's keep doing that as a church family. So you've got the promise of John the Baptist, then you've got the angel showing up to Mary and telling her that she's going to bear the Son of God. You've got Zechariah. You've got John the Baptist leaping in the womb. You've got a lot going on in the first chapter of Luke. And I want to lift out from there, there's a common thread that runs through that chapter, and it's a thread of praise. And we all know that the church world is kind of in turmoil. I mean, you and Baptist on the name, really anything on the name doesn't mean a lot. You really don't know what you're going to encounter when you walk in those doors. You don't know if you're going to be scared. You don't know if it's going to be a comedy routine with a little bit of Jesus mixed in. You really just don't know what you're going to encounter at most churches these days. And what I want to preach this morning, and I preach it to Progress Baptist, I'm thankful for our guests. I'm preaching from Luke chapter 1 on pure praise. The praise and worship contemporary movement that is now 25 to 30 years old has really confused a lot of us on what is biblical praise and worship. We don't have to be confused. It's all in our Bible. Now, let me give you one definition before we go to the outline that God has given me, and that would be this. Because this is an old-time, old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church, sometimes when we hear the word praise, we make that synonymous with a shout. That could be hallelujah, that could be glory, that could be praise the Lord, that could be woo, okay? That could be expressed in any number of ways. We tend, Seth, to make it synonymous. Praise means that there's a shout there, and I think shouts of praise are biblical. You'll find them all the way through your Bible. Just to be quite honest, I wish we had more than we did around here, okay? I'd like to encourage it, but I refuse to pump it up in the power of the flesh. Okay? And I know for a fact that our people love Jesus. Some of them just love Him a little more quietly than others. Okay? But what I want you to remember is that you don't have to. Brother King, in his devotion, quit devoting and went to meddling. And I said, amen. He said, it is possible to be extremely modest on the outside and have a mean, bitter, angry spirit on the inside. And nobody can respect your outward modesty and decency because you're so mean and crabby and we don't want what you've got. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not representing Jesus, it doesn't matter if your hair looks like a beehive from the 70s. Somebody say amen. We want to be real. We want people to see Jesus in us. Let me give you a few examples of praise in the Bible. In the book of Nehemiah, when they praised the Lord, it said they said amen, bowed their heads, and lifted their hands. They were so overwhelmed with the goodness and the holiness and the purity of God, they didn't run. In one place, they fell down on their face before God. Now, all they could do was just quietly reverence Him, but God was in the house. Then there's other places where the shouts of praise were so loud, it cracked the earth open. So you praise God the way He wired you. Any of you who, my dad is here, he's not here often, he's an evangelist, he's gone more than he's here, he's rather unfaithful, just to be quite honest. We're geared pretty differently. If my dad does this in a worship service, he's in the glory. Buddy, he is head over heels in high cotton. God is just pouring bucket loads of honey on him. He's in high cotton. I'm wired a little bit like your daddy. I want to be up. I want to be like the lady that David Gibbs heard. He sat down beside her in church and she said, are you here for the service? He said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, we're glad you're here. Can you scoot down? I need more room. I just need lots of room, okay? Chris, my wife is sick at home today. She said, honey, I love sitting by you. She said, but you wiggle and you move and you elbow me. And if you get blessed, you want me to get blessed. And she said, can I just love Jesus? And you know, can I just enjoy you? And then God gets on her and she starts speaking in tongues. Not really. We don't speak in tongues. Okay, that was a transitional gift for unbelieving Jews. Okay, I want everybody to know I know my Bible. Okay, so praise. If this means, if hallelujah, I live. If for you it's bow your head and say amen. For some of us it's kneeling. I want to be a part, Brother Morgan, of a praising church. I want Jesus to be praised when we gather at Progress Baptist Church. I want you to look at verse 25. This is Elizabeth. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein He looked on me to take away my reproach. Look at verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, both of those ladies, I've already read verses where they got caught up in the glory. Elizabeth probably sounds like was a little bit louder than Mary was because we're told she spake out with a loud voice. We're not told that Mary did, but Mary got to testifying, okay? And we're told that John the Baptist leaped in the womb. Well, both of these, though, verse number 25 and verse number 38, let's look at Mary again in verse number 50. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Here's what I want us to get from this powerful text. The faithfulness that preceded all of this praise. I think most of us have had the unfortunate experience of a family member, a co-worker, or a neighbor inviting us to go to church. And we knew that we weren't their judge, but we knew that person to be borderline at best in their walk with Jesus. They just weren't real serious. And to be quite honest, we went because we thought we could be an encouragement to them. But you walk in the door and they're suddenly the life of the party. And you're going, that's not how you was acting at lunch the other day. That's not how you acted the other day when so-and-so walked through the plant and you made that lewd comment. Real worship is preceded by faithfulness. Now that doesn't mean I praise Him because I'm worthy, but it does mean that I've been walking with Him 6 days out of the week before I come in here on Sunday. I don't just come in and put on a show in the Lord's house on Sunday morning. Okay? The faithfulness that preceded. For all of this worship, and I really wish I'd have took the time to read 80 verses in Luke chapter 1. For all this worship, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, John the Baptist, all of this praise and thanksgiving that's being offered to God, you would think that the nation of Israel was in a time of revival. Do you want to know what preceded Luke chapter 1? 400 years of silence from God. 400 years of silence from God. There's no record that God spoke to one of His prophets. There's no record that God spoke to a pagan king or an Israelite. There's no record of God working and moving in any way, shape, or form. All they had was what had been recorded in what we call now the New Testament. And yet, when after 400 years of silence, God showed up, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, and John the Baptist start thanking Jesus just like they had met with Him a week ago. And listen, they hadn't met with Him a week ago. Now here's the lesson for us today. We think everything's got to be going hunky-dory and just amazing. God just dumping blessings on me hand over fist for me to praise Him. I praise Him because of who He is. I praise Him because He's keeping me. I might not have had a miracle baby. We've had families in this church that followed caskets down the aisle. And you know what? They were back in church the next week praising Jesus. I thank God for the miracles that He does. But here's what I'm saying. Our praise, our worship, our adoration of Jesus is not based on the fact that He has done everything to my liking. My praise is based on the fact that He is God and He is faithful. Would you look in Luke chapter 3? Would you turn over a couple pages to Luke chapter 3? Boy, I hope this will do for you what it did for me. Look at verse number 23. And Jesus Himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. We know Joseph was what we refer to him as Jesus' earthly father. Heli would have been Jesus' earthly grandfather, which was the son of, look at that next word, Mathat, which was the son of. Here's all I want you to see. If you'll go to the bottom of verse number 25, please don't miss this. If you'll go to the end of verse number 25, you're probably looking, Brother Youngblood, at the 400 years. If a generation was 30 years, give or take, you're probably looking at the men who stayed faithful for 400 years. And when God showed back up on the scene, a generation was ready to receive Him. A generation recognized Him for who He is. You're going, Brother Raines, what's the big deal? We can go about 2 weeks, not feel like we're hitting on all 8 cylinders, and we're ready to look for a new church. That's how unstable and how fickle we are. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We better learn to weather the heat of the day and the storms of life. I'm not a Bible scholar. I am a Bible student. 400 years, no word from God. All they had to go on was the last time He spoke. And for 400 years, a generation said, God is good and He's going to speak again. God is good and He's going to speak again. God is good and He's going to speak again. God is good and He's going to speak again. And a generation came on the scene, God spoke, and they said, that's a voice like we've never heard before. That's the voice of God. Now let me illustrate it another way. Who is the baby in Elizabeth's womb? John the Baptist. How long was his ministry? 6 months. He preached the truth for 6 months and Herod had his head cut off because he preached on his wicked life. He was the forerunner for Jesus. Okay, so John the Baptist and Jesus, they start their ministries 33 years later, right? Now, here's what I want you to see. Who crucified Jesus? The high priest. Let him be crucified. His blood be on us and on our children. Here's what I want you to see, church. Not every Jewish family was being faithful. The vast majority had fallen into apostasy. But there was a remnant that said, when God speaks the next time, we're going to recognize His voice. Look back at the beginning of Luke chapter 1 and look at how it describes Zacharias. A devout man, a faithful man with a good wife. Listen, church, not everybody that was serving the Lord those days was serving Him in sincerity. And I am appealing to Progress Baptist Church and our guests who are here this morning. Don't blame your carnal life on the wicked culture that we've been called to live in. Don't blame your lack of fervency for the things of God on those that are around you. If you love Him and if you love His Word and you want to be a part of that remnant, you stay strong in the things of the Lord. You keep blessing His name. You keep reading to your children Psalm 100. You keep reading Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You say, well, I hadn't felt Him in a while. That doesn't change the fact that God is still good. Oh, I love to feel His presence. I love to have joy just spring up in my soul like a fountain of life. But let me tell you something. If we succumb to the apathy of the world around us, we're going to get sucked into what they are. God will speak. God will move. And when He does, I want my children, grandchildren, I want the young people of this church to recognize it. Let me be real clear. This dear lady that I talked to before church, she said, preacher, I got saved in the 70s. She said, there's been a lot of changes since then. She said, a street preacher in California is who pointed me to Jesus. That's a testimony. Let me tell you something. We live in strange days. If you could hear the gospel on the street 45 years ago in California, you're struggling to hear it in some churches these days. My point is, church, these are days of decay. These are days of apostasy. But if we have the truth, we should cherish it. We should hold on to it. And we should keep telling the generation coming up the road behind us, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. This praise was preceded by faithfulness. And to those who have seen God work and move in miraculous, powerful ways, I find myself somewhere in between your generation and the struggling generation that I've been called to minister to because I've experienced much of that myself. I implore those who have seen God work in His fullness and His power, keep your chin up, keep your head up, keep your hand up. Keep bragging on Jesus. Keep telling a generation coming along the road behind you, Jesus is the best thing ever happened to you. Amen? Because when He does work and move again, and He says in Revelation, He's coming for a bride who has made herself ready. He's coming for a bride who has made herself ready. And God has always worked with a remnant. He has always worked with a remnant. How many souls were saved on the ark? 8. God has always worked with a remnant, and I want to be a part of that remnant. I want you to look in verse number 45. Look in verse number 45. Verse number 45 of chapter 1 says this, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord." That is Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is talking about Mary. Elizabeth is the older woman. Elizabeth is the daughter of Aaron. She is blessed. Her husband is a priest. She's in a highly esteemed position. Her little poor cousin from Nazareth, who is probably 14 or 15 years old, culture and history tells us, comes over to her city and says, guess what's happening? And here's what I see. Elizabeth is as excited for Mary as she is for herself. I'm going somewhere with that. Look in verse number 48. This is Mary talking. His mighty hand hath done great things. I'm sorry, verse number 48. He hath regarded the, would you say those next two words? Go to verse number 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of, say the next two words. Verse 53. He hath filled the hungry. Look in verse number 79. We've looked at Elizabeth. We've looked at Mary. Look at Zacharias. Look at verse 79. To give light to them that sit in and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet. Do you know who he's talking about sitting in darkness in the shadow of death? Himself. Please don't miss this one. Please don't miss this one. The humility that accompanied the praise. I'm going to drop the plow a little deeper. I know churches that say to other people, you don't praise the Lord like we praise the Lord. Do you know who, where you have shifted the focus when you make that foolish statement? You. I told you this a week or two ago. In that interim period before the Lord sent me here to this precious place, my family and I traveled. We had been under my dad's ministry, greatly blessed of God for all those years and experienced what God did. And in 18 months, Seth, I'd be preaching at a church. And one of them in particular was back up a holler. There wasn't but one way in and one way out. And there might have been 35 there. And when they sang, it wasn't fleshly, it wasn't carnal, it wasn't sensual. But they all, have you been to Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Cleansing power. There wasn't anybody shouting. Nobody ran a lap. There wasn't. But boy, the sincere, tender heart of praise from those people literally overwhelmed it. I looked down the pew. My wife and all four kids, we were all together at that time. And all six of us had tears in our eyes. Let me tell you something. There's so many ways to express your gratitude to Jesus. All I'm encouraging us as the body of Christ and as Progress Baptist Church to do. All I'm encouraging us to do is not come in and grind through another service. Not come in and go through the motions. And we haven't done that this morning. I've enjoyed the Lord's house and I'm going to enjoy coming back this evening. But I am telling you, if we don't tend and prune, if we don't take care of our vineyard, we can fall into a trap and a pattern of going through the motions. And let me tell you something. You're not going to reach any young people. You're not going to help any young families if you're just going through the motions. They can see through that mess in a heartbeat. I want our praise at Progress Baptist Church to be accompanied with humility. We've had a little choir practice in the last several Sunday nights. I told them I wasn't even going to call it a choir until I heard how we sounded. I said, we'll reserve choir for... It sounded pretty good. I'm kind of proud of you, if you can be proud in the right way. I don't ever want to be a place where we go, man, there ain't nobody in Western North Carolina got a choir like us. God don't need my choir. God don't need our musicians. Are y'all with me? Do all that stuff. That's amazing. I don't know how your fingers move that fast. God don't need you. Ravi Zacharias preached a message and he told his audience, he said, whatever is between you and God, God can remove it. And there was a lady in the audience. She was an accomplished author, a published author, and she was proud of herself. And she said, God wouldn't do that to me. I heard Ravi Zacharias tell this. She had a horrible accident and lost the use of her hands.
And she humbled herself before God. And she said, I'm not everything I thought I was. You don't need me. And you don't need my hands. I need you. You know where my Bible reading came? Thank God for your sharp mind. Memorized chapter after chapter after chapter of God's Word in the last 3 months. You could hit your head in a simple car accident on the way home and not know how to dress yourself this evening. I'm not trying to use dramatic choice. I am telling us we're too full of ourselves and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you didn't receive? Preacher Raines, there's 78-year-olds all over Western North Carolina who can't feed themselves. It's the mercy of God. You can drive anywhere in the country you want to go, drive and preach and come back home. It's the mercy of God, Jim, that we're standing here enjoying the blessings of God. Every one of us should find a way, a bowed head, a lifted hand, a shout of praise, a trip to the altar. Every one of us should find a way to thank God for His many, many blessings. The humility that ought to accompany our praise. Look at the focus of their praise. You know what Mary said. You know what Elizabeth said. You know what Zechariah said. You know how John the Baptist acted in the womb. Stop right there. Let me insert this. It's a life. It's a human life from the moment of conception. Progress Baptist Church will forever stand for life. So here we are. What's the focus of their praise? Every last one of them talks about God over and over and over and over again. Can I preach to my church for a minute? Don't stand up and tell us what you've given up for Jesus. Stand up and tell us how good God's been to you. Don't be impressed. Thank you for the song. I can't do a thing. He's done it all. I couldn't earn His favor before He saved me, and I can't earn it now. I just bask in the grace and the mercy of an almighty God. The focus of the praise ought to be Jesus. The spreading of the praise. I started to call this the contagious nature of praise. Who started it? John the Baptist. And then Elizabeth gets full. And then Mary starts testifying. And then when Zechariah gets his tongue loosed, maybe we need to pray for a tongue loosen. Praise is contagious. I know for a fact we've had guests. I haven't seen a bit of it this morning, but I know for a fact we've had guests before. Somebody would say, preacher, I want to praise Jesus. And the guest would go, okay, I guess that's okay. And then somebody else would do it. And then after about the third one, they start looking at their clock. Come on. There's games you was watching yesterday. You prayed for overtime. But we go to church and you're like, dude, man, the Methodists are going to beat me to the buffet at Golden Corral. I need some help right there. When she started talking about miracles, I grabbed the pulpit. I said, I want to tell them about my miracle. I want to tell them about my miracle. Holy Spirit said, later. Praise ought to make you think of something you can thank God for. Praise ought to spread. I'm not saying I shout because He shouts, but the Bible does say rejoice with them that do rejoice. Okay, come on now, church, help me. Some of y'all know you've been a little more vocal in your praise than you are right now, and I'm going to ask you a question. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, so I want to ask you this. Has the cat got your tongue? Has Jesus got off the throne? No, Jesus is still everything He said He'd be. Praise ought to spread. I like it when it spreads. Psalm 40, and I'm through. Go there quickly. Please don't miss this. Y'all there? Waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Waited patiently. Does that sound, can we link that to the 400 years of God's silence? I've had good people say, well, I just haven't felt God lately. I hadn't heard from God lately. But Preacher Raines, I love Him. And when I hear from Him again, I'm going to testify and brag on Jesus. How about just bragging on Him because He is who He is? That's right. That's right. I waited patiently on the Lord.
I believe the Holy Spirit just told me that somebody in our precious church, I'm not trying, no extra biblical revelation. I'm just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I promise you, there's people listening to me right now. You need to be patient. The word in your Bible means to endure. It don't mean sitting on the rocking chair going, I'm just going to wait. No, no, no. It's endurance. It's a tough thing. Look at verse 2. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. If He did that for you, would you say amen? Might have been a pit of drunkenness. It might have been a pit of drugs. It might have been a pit of religion. But if He saved you, He brought you out of a pit. Now look at verse number 3. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. What are they seeing, church? The song and the praise. Grammatically, what did many see? The praise and the song. And shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm going back to Luke 1 in a minute, but stay right there in Psalms. Here's what's supposed to happen. Somebody comes in here who needs Jesus, and you testify about the horrible pit He brought you out of. You either called on, or like somebody did in revival the other night, sitting here in their pew, just broke out in song. You got a song. That man who walked in here needing Jesus, hears that praise, hears that song, and he goes, I'm going to fear the Lord, and I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to step on a little bit of thin ice, but I'm okay with it. Because y'all will throw me a rope if I break through. Sometimes a service where there's not a true, open the Bible, read a text, preach a message, sometimes those services are criticized. Let me tell you something. My Bible tells me He can hear your praise and hear her song and say, I'm going to fear the Lord and start trusting in Jesus. If I come to church and somebody who came in here not fearing Him, not trusting Him, leaves fearing Him and trusting Him, that's been a good day at the house of God. Now, this church is built on preaching, and we're going to preach. You know that. But let me tell you something. Every single time we walk in the door, what we need to be doing is minding the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Who can hear your testimony? Who can hear your song and start trusting in God? That is why we praise Him. We praise Him because He's worthy. But in praising Him because He's worthy, how amazing is it for somebody else to get what we've got? Y'all with me? Boy, a money-making scheme can sweep through independent Baptist churches, and you can't go to a camp meeting without somebody pulling you off to the side, telling you how you can make a million. Okay? The only problem is they're still in debt. Y'all ain't been around as long as I have, okay? Luke chapter 1. Don't miss these verses. This is the heart of the message. Look at verse 58. You there? Her neighbors and her cousins. What's the next word? How the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. 65. Fear came on all them that dwelt round about them, and all those sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill. Verse 66. And all they that heard laid them up in their hearts and said, what manner of child shall this be? The next time God tells you to brag on Him and you say, I already did 1,001. This will be 1,002. Banish that thought forever. Lift up His name. Magnify Him for getting you out of that pit. Somebody needs to hear it. Well, preacher, the church has heard it before. The church can be... Time out, church. We buried Brother Townsend a month ago. How many times did he tell us about the Brush Arbor meeting in a Texas cotton field 75 years ago when he got born again? How many times did he tell us in almost 9 years? Does anybody wish he'd have left one of those out? Now that he's with the Lord, Brother Michael,
We're thanking Jesus for every time. And over a 9-year span, Miss Sandra, every time He lifted Himself from that pew, it was a little harder to get up. But I'm so glad He did. And I'm glad He had a third generation coming along behind Him who was glad to hear it and wasn't sitting on the back pew carving their initials in the church pew going, "Oh, great, here goes the old man again. Come on now." You know one reason God blesses Progress Baptist Church? We honor His Word. We honor His Word. Church, could we praise Him more than we're praising Him? Could we magnify His name? Is there somebody who walks in these doors who needs to hear it? What if it was nobody but the church family and you knew for a fact they had heard it many, many times before? When that Holy Spirit starts rumbling in your soul and He says, "Thank me. Thank me for what I've done for you." A, it's going to encourage you to be reminded of what He did. You're going to honor Him. You're going to help somebody else. Pure praise. It's not all about me. It's all about Him.